Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
That principle that's at work here works in every other area of your life. It's been the same with our marriage. We've had hard times in our marriage, but we've stuck with it. We've stayed with each other. We've worked through things. And I would say things have gotten brighter and brighter and better and easier because we've stayed on the path of righteousness in that area of our life. It would be the same for your business. It would be the same for anything you do in life. The longer you do it, the more you stick to this principle, the brighter things are going to be because the righteous path is always the right path.
Do you stay on course when the going gets rough? As you listen to today's message from Pastor Pete, he explains to you that it's easy to want to give up when the path in front of us gets rocky and tough to endure. Think about an advanced hike. It has difficult terrain, which makes it easy to slip, and often you want to give up. However, you understand that if you keep pressing through on that path, you will get to a vista that will be worth the fight. The same is true with our walk with God. Stay on His path. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 as he begins part one of his message, Right or Wrong.
How many of you would agree that all things considered in general, the path of the righteous is better than the path of the wicked? Okay, most of you are on the same page with me. How many of you would agree that your children should walk the path of righteousness rather than the path of wickedness? All right, good, good. Last one. How many of you would agree that your life is better when you're on the path of righteousness over the path of wickedness? So you've learned that lesson, I'm assuming, the hard way, just as I have and most of us have. Those aren't hard questions, are they? You know, we could really sum those questions up and we could really sum our entire text for today in Proverbs chapter 4 up with this big idea. The righteous path is always right and the wicked path is always, any guesses? Wrong. The righteous path is always right and the wicked path is always wrong. Now, I realize we live in a world that'll tell you differently than that. I realize we live in a culture that'll tell you there is no right or wrong, that right is what you think is right and wrong is what you think is wrong. And if you just follow your sweet little old heart, it'll lead you the right direction and all those kinds of things. But the reality is the Bible paints a different picture for us. The Bible says the righteous path is always the right path and the wicked path is always the wrong path. It doesn't matter what your opinion of the path is. It doesn't matter what your perspective of the path is. It doesn't matter what path you think is going to be more fun or more lucrative. It doesn't matter what your overall perception of the scenario or situation or circumstance is. The righteous path is always right, and the wicked path is always wrong. In our text, we start with the result. That's point number one today, the result. And I love that this text starts with the result. Every path we take has a destination. We've talked about that at length. We've talked about it numerous times in this series. Every path you take has a destination. So every path you choose is important because there's a result attached to the path you're walking on. The path you're on takes you somewhere. It produces something. The righteous path is going to lead you to the right places, and the wicked path is going to lead you to the wrong places. There's a result, a destination to every path you choose in life. Look at verses 18 and 19. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday, but the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't even know what makes them stumble. I don't know about you, but one of those sounds really, really good, and the other sounds absolutely awful, right? One path sounds like a path I would want to be on, and the other path sounds like a path I would want to avoid. One sounds right and one sounds wrong. But here's what both paths have in common. They're both going somewhere. They're both going to eventually help you get to a destination. Not the same destination, but a destination. So let's look at these two paths and what the scripture tells us. Let's look at the right one first, the righteous path. It says the righteous path is like the light of dawn shining brighter and brighter until midday. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a wonderful result of walking down the right path or the righteous path in life. How many of you have ever been up early enough to see the sun come up? Okay, some of the young kids don't have their hands up. They haven't been up that early yet. But isn't it beautiful to watch the sunrise? Especially if you're out there when it's dark and you see those first rays poke over the horizon. If you've ever watched the sunrise, you know that it's not just a beautiful sight when the sun comes up. It's not just an incredible feeling. It's not just an incredible reminder of God's power and God's grace and his mercy and the newness and the freshness of a day. But you know this, it just gets better and better and better. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. From the moment you get the first glimpse of a new day and those first rays start, and then within 30 minutes, it's brighter and brighter. This says it gets brighter and brighter until the noonday sun. Now, this time of the year, about the noonday sun is when it starts getting worser and worser and worser around here, right? Because it's just getting hotter and hotter and hotter. But he says, man, it's like that morning sunrise that gets brighter and brighter and brighter. That's what the path of righteousness looks like. The right path, the path we want to walk on. The idea there is this, the longer you stay on the righteous path, the longer you stay on the right path, the more faithful you are to staying on and being on the right path, the better things are going to get. If you approach your marriage or your money or your parenting or your spiritual life or your physical life or your emotional life or anything else in life, your career, if you approach anything from a point and a path of righteousness and you stay on that path, the longer you stay on it, the better things are going to get. The longer you stick with it, the better things are going to get. Brighter and brighter is that path going to be if you stay on the right path, because blessings multiply. And the longer you stay on it, the easier things get. And all in all, the path lights up and things just become simpler and easier and brighter as you're following the Lord down that path. I'll give you an example from my own life, my family's life. When Abby and I finally decided to start doing money God's way instead of money the world's way and money the culture's way and money our parents' way and money the way our friends were doing money and everything else, we said, we're going to do this. We're going to get on this path, the righteous path, and we're going to actually look at what the Bible says about it, and we're going to do it. When we first got on that path, it was a very, very hard path. When those rays of sunshine were first just poking over the horizon, there were times we didn't know if we were going to be able to stay on the path. There were times we were very tempted to get off the path. But because we've stayed on that path year after year and month after month and paycheck after paycheck, and we've resisted for the most part the temptations to get off of that path, we've reached a place now where that path, those blessings have multiplied. It's gotten brighter and brighter, and things have gotten better and better. And that principle of the path, that principle that's at work here, works in every other area of your life. It's been the same with our marriage. We've had hard times in our marriage, but we've stuck with it. We've stayed with each other. We've worked through things. And I would say things have gotten brighter and brighter and better and easier because we've stayed on the path of righteousness in that area of our life. It would be the same for your business. It would be the same for anything you do in life. The longer you do it, the more you stick to this principle, the brighter things are going to be, because the righteous path is always the right path and the wicked path is always the wrong path. Let's look at that other path, verse 19. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble. Things get darker and darker on the path of wickedness. Things get harder and harder on the path of evil. And things get so hard and so dark, you find yourself in a place where you don't even know what's making you stumble anymore. You don't even know how you got there. You don't even know how you ended up there. You don't even know why you're there. The righteous path is always the right path, and the wicked path is always the wrong path. You might say, but yeah, Pastor, but you don't know. I mean, you don't know about my certain situation or my certain circumstance. You don't really understand the dynamics of my family or the dynamics of my business. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what I'm feeling. And you're right, I don't. But I do know this, right is right and wrong is wrong. And you cannot do the wrong things and expect to get the right results. I know that to be true. In any area of your life, in any circumstance or scenario you can come up with, you cannot do the wrong things and expect to get the right results. I want to ask you a question. This is a serious question, not an out loud question, not a respond back to me with amens or raising your hand question. This is a question I would actually encourage you to write down and think about this week. And really think about it and challenge yourself with this. This is a serious question. Have you ever once in your life regretted doing something God asked you to do or God told you to do? Have you ever regretted it? Have you ever regretted doing something God's word commanded you or called you to do? Have you ever looked back 5, 10, 15, 20 years later after doing something the Bible's way instead of the world's way and said, you know what, I sure regret doing it God's way? Have you ever really pursued righteousness, holiness, or Christ-likeness and come to the end of that path and said, you know what, that was the wrong choice? I haven't. Because the righteous path is always the right path. But I get it. It's hard to do the right thing. I know the pursuit of holiness is not easy. I know that being a righteous man or a righteous woman in this unrighteous world is hard. I recently took a group of people over to Greece, and we followed through the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. First place we went, the first major biblical site we went to on that tour was Philippi, and I've always been fascinated with Philippi my entire life as a believer. I've loved the book of Philippians. It was really, in many ways, a dream come true for me to be there in this ancient city. And we spent several hours there. We went to the little stream where Paul baptized Lydia, the first convert, there after he had gotten his vision. We learned about how hard life was in Philippi for the early believers. For Paul, walking into this ginormous city where there's no church, there's no believers, there's no Bibles, you know, there's none of this stuff. We went to the cell that Paul and Silas were actually imprisoned in there in Acts, and we just stood there and we talked about the significance of that place, but really the hardships that these people faced in the early church. And that night, as I was reflecting on the day, I read this scripture in Philippians 2, 14 through 16, and it just hit me in a powerful way. It said this, it says, do everything without grumbling and arguing. This is Paul writing to these Philippians who are living in a really tough culture, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation among whom you shine like stars in the world. By holding firm to the word of life, then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. Paul said, do what's right and avoid what's wrong. He says, I know you have a lot of opportunity here in Philippi, there in Philippi. I know you have a lot of opportunity to make the wrong choices, to go down the path of wickedness, but I'm encouraging you to do what is right and righteous. Not because it's the easy path, but because it's the right path. And that's the path you want to be on, because that is the path that's going to bring you the result you desire. A life that gets brighter and brighter and brighter, like that sun that creeps up over the horizon. He encouraged them to do it, not because it was easy or not because it was popular, but simply because it was right. And simply because the righteous path is always right and the wicked path is always wrong. You see, getting the right results starts with doing the right things, from the little things all the way up to the big things. We have this misconception that if we do the big things right, everything's gonna fall in place. Can I tell you, the little things are just as important as the big things. We've got to be people who are pursuing righteousness in all areas of our life if we want to end up on the right path and stay on it. After we get the results here in Proverbs, we get to what I call the recommendations. The recommendations. And these recommendations might at first seem somewhat general and broad as we go through them. And we're going to go through most of them pretty fast. But the reality is, if you think about it, they really do impact every area of your life. Each of these six things are going to help us choose the right path or the righteous path, stay on the righteous path, and ultimately end up in the right destination. The first one is the one we're going to spend the most time on because it is the one that all the other ones hinge on. It's the one, if you don't get this one right, none of the other ones that follow it are going to even be possible. It's simply this, you got to pay attention. The recommendation here is pay attention. Look at Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health for one's whole body. Four times here, Solomon says, pay attention. He says, pay attention because this is important. Look how he says it over and over. First, he just says, my son, pay attention to my words. Then he says, listen closely to my sayings. Then he says, don't lose sight of them. Pay attention. And then he says, keep them within your heart. Have you ever told your kids to pay attention? Have you ever said, listen up, listen closely to what I'm about to tell you? Don't forget this. Have you ever told an employee or a friend? Have you ever looked somebody in the eye and said, please don't forget what I'm about to tell you? Haven't we all done that at some point in our lives? We do it all the time. And we do it when it matters. We do it when there's something important on the line. We do it when there's something we really need people to pay attention to. And here's what we have in our text, my friends. We have one of the wisest people ever to walk on the face of this planet saying, pay attention. Listen. We haven't talked a whole lot about the wisdom of Solomon in this series, but I want you to hear how wise he was. 1 Kings 4:29 through 34 says this about him. God gave Solomon wisdom, very great insight and understanding as vast as the sand on the seashore. I mean, we're talking Jeryl Hill level wisdom right there. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser, and then it goes on and it lists some names of people that he's wiser than. But the important thing to notice is this. This was not human wisdom. This was wisdom God gave Solomon because he asked for it. And it was vast wisdom. It wasn't wisdom that was just limited to spiritual things or theological things. It was indeed greater wisdom than entire nations possessed, according to the text. It wasn't just theoretical wisdom or theological wisdom. This is wisdom that stretched out. If you look at verse 33, it says he spoke about trees from the cedar in Lebanon to the hyssop growing in the wall. He also spoke about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. I mean, he had real wisdom and understanding about all kinds of things in life. And this is what made his wisdom so special. And it's why everybody wanted to get advice from this guy. Look at verse 34. Emissaries of all the people sent by every king on earth who had heard of his wisdom came to listen to Solomon's wisdom. Imagine if nations from all over the, and I know you're going to have to use your imaginations here, but imagine if nations from all over the world sent their emissaries, their advisors, their ambassadors, their officials to talk to our president to gain his wisdom. People don't come to talk to our president to get wisdom. They come to talk to our president to get money. But people from all over the world are visiting this man, not for his money, but for his wisdom. Now, why would I tell you all of that? Because when somebody who's this wise says, my son, pay attention to my words, listen closely to my sayings, don't lose sight of them, keep them within your heart, we might want to pay attention too. If we want to walk on the right path, the righteous paths of life, we've got to pay attention. We need to pay attention to the Word of God. We need to pay attention to the friends that we keep in our inner circle. We need to pay attention to the words we speak. We need to pay attention to what we're spending money on. We need to pay attention to what we're spending our time on. We need to pay attention to our spouse and the health of our marriage. We need to look around and we need to really be honest about the path we're on and pay attention and figure out, is this the right path, the righteous path, or is this the wicked path, the wrong path? Because the righteous path is always going to be right and the wicked path is always going to be wrong. And if we're not careful and if we don't pay attention, we will be deceived, we will be duped, and we will potentially be destroyed by the devil. He's not called the great deceiver for no reason. He doesn't want you walking on the right path, the righteous path, the path that's going to get brighter and brighter and better and better. He wants you to walk on the wicked path, the wrong path, the one that's going to get darker and darker and darker. And if you don't pay attention, that's where you'll end up. James talked about the importance of paying attention in a different way. Listen to what he says in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That sounds like paying attention, doesn't it? Quick to listen, pay attention, or you're going to go down the wrong path. Verse 20 outlines that. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. That would be the wrong path, the wicked path, not the righteous path. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. What's James saying? He's saying pay attention to the word of God. Seek God's righteousness because God's righteousness is always right. Rid yourself of wickedness because wickedness is always wrong. Pay attention, he says. Look at verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, catch this, he's like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and he immediately forgets what kind of person he was. In other words, he didn't pay attention.
You've been listening to Pastor Pete on One to Another. It's truly a blessing for him to bring the Word of God to those who live nearby, as well as those who live further away. That's the beauty of radio ministry. You might not live nearby, but you feel connected through the radio messages. Pastor Pete is touching on concepts that have to do with staying on the path that God has for you, for your best. In the Bible, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What does that look like practically? Essentially, as you look into God's word for answers, He enlightens your eyes and your mind to seeing and understanding Him more and more. Imagine how lost you'd be if you were on that path in the dark with no direction. That's how the majority of this world is right now, blindly trying to find their way, but no light in sight. Thankfully, we know that God is the one who illumines our hearts and our lives. Thank goodness we have Him to look to and His Word to guide us. Would you be interested in some resources that could help you in your walk with God? If so, Pastor Pete has just the thing at his website, onetoanotherradio.org. Pastor Pete has written several books that could be such a helpful addition to your reading library. Feel free to browse the various books he's written, and you can order them right from our website. Once more, that's onetoanotherradio.org. As you're learning more about this ministry, Gwen's here to fill you in on a few more things. Take it away, Gwen.
Thanks, Phil. Did you know that Pastor Pete loves to hear from our listeners? He personally answers as many emails as he can. So if you have something you'd like to share about what you're learning here on One to Another, we invite you to do so. More than likely, you'll hear back from Pastor Pete himself. Go to onetoanotherradio.org and look for the About tab, then click on Contact, and you can submit what you're learning. You can also find out the places that Pastor Pete is teaching and the events he has planned in the upcoming months. Who knows? Maybe you'll have an opportunity to meet Pastor Pete at one of these events. While you're at our website, you'll notice a Donate tab. If you'd like to contribute to this ministry in a financial way, we'd be so grateful. For any new donors this month, we'll send you a gift of the month. Just go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more.
Thanks, Gwen. That's all we have for today's edition. But join us again for One to Another.